Hello and welcome to the Fishing Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Brad Weekman, and this week we have someone very special. It's someone who's really done a lot in the fishing industry, and in Northwest Arkansas, if you say Chris Johnson, everyone knows who you're talking about because he's done a lot of things. You've had a bait shop. You've owned a bait shop.
Yes, sir.
Worked at Cabela's.
I've kind of had a whole gauntlet of things. I started after high school working for a large marine dealer, became a fully certified marine tech, did that for quite a number of years, and then got out of that, and then actually did tile and flooring for a while, but then got back into the owned and operated my own tackle store, and then worked for another large local tackle store for quite a number of years,
right.
And then moved on to Cabela's and worked big time retail there in the really entire outdoor industry. I've had a lot of experience in fishing and the boating world and just a little bit of everything. Fishing has brought me a lot of different places.
And not only is Chris well known, so is his wife, Lucy.
She is. It's kind of an interesting story with her. When we met, she didn't know anything about this whole tournament thing or fishing thing. It was a little bit like, what's all this about? But, at this point now, she's progressed to she is the state youth director for the state of Arkansas and has kids everywhere fishing, and it's a wonderful thing.
We actually had her on as a guest, and two of her young anglers were on here, and they brought their great big trophies. So,
she's getting a lot of kids hooked on this sport. They are competitors. They love it. I've been fortunate enough to do a lot of boat captaining with her,
right?
And it's super cool. Super cool.
Yeah, so we'll jump right into the fishing part, because you actually fished in a tournament and were pretty close to making it to that where everyone, I don't know if there's any angler that doesn't want to fish in the Bassmaster Classic. So you were working your way right to it, weren't you?
I was. I worked my way through the what's called the Bass Nation, and actually went through a state level. Actually, you go through your club level to state level to a regional level. At the regional tournament, had a really great finish there as well, finished third and was able to qualify for the national championship. And that was in the Monroe, Louisiana, and ended up in fourth place down there. Top three got to go to the Classic.
Right.
It was a real nail biter to the end, but an amazing experience.
Right. And so do you know how many people actually fish in that Bass Nation?
I don't know the exact number, but it is thousands and thousands.
Thousands.
Yeah.
And to be that close, that's quite an adventure.
It's a huge feat. I truthfully, after getting there and beginning to realize how many different countries are represented and how many states and how many people have tried to get to just to that point.
Right.
Wow. So, super cool. Again, I hope to be there again someday, because it's even now it's a once in a lifetime deal, but we want to try for two.
I think the heritage of Arkansas and the Bass Nation goes back. I fished on the state team one time. That state team had Greg Hackney on.
Yep.
And also had owned War Eagle Spinner Baits.
Keith Beshears.
Yeah, Keith Beshears was on that team.
Yep.
And so I was like, these are all people that somehow ended up in the fishing industry, from writing to to selling lures and to actually fishing with lures really good.
Exactly. So, it's amazing how many different walks of life come together into all that. But, it's fishing's kind of that common bond that brings all these people together. So,
And you're fishing, you're a little different now. All the anglers now, they really are getting into their electronics. We're seeing it down on Sam Rayburn. There's a lot of people have pulled off. And let's talk some about that. I know we had visited off air about that. Tell them about your rig. Tell them about your electronics.
I'm an extremely an old school angler. Everybody that knows me will know that. But, I fish out of a 1986 model Ranger 19-footer with a 87 Mercury 175 on it. on my front bow, I have what's called a 1240A. Most young anglers today probably won't know what that is,
right.
But it's an old school flasher. And I have two basic just Lowrance units on my console, one for regular down, just one-dimensional graphing,
right.
And one for a map chip. I have kind of got off into the map chip a little bit. But other than that, as far as depth goes, I use an old flasher. It's what I grew up with. I keep it super simple and just fish.
Yeah. And so you're really focused more on – are you more focused on shallow water? Is that it, just mostly shallow water?
I do a lot of I still do a lot of deep water structure fishing. That's how I learned to fish. My progression with my father was a tournament angler as well, and another a well-known local angler by the name of Hewlin Nations, and they were structure fishermen back in the day. And, you know, we spent hours using the paper graph and looking for these old spots and triangulating and doing all this deep water structure fishing. So that's how I learned to fish. I didn't learn to fish shallow. I learned to fish deep.
Uh-huh.
And so I still do a lot of that today with the same techniques. It's probably a little more work than what with newer electronics, but
right.
You get out there and graph, you find a spot, and it's all about boat positioning and angles when it comes to that. And the same way with the shallow water fishing. I do stay shallow majority of the time nowadays,
right?
But it's really about presentation and angles and cast with these shallow fish.
Right, and you're talking about angles. I know I was in the boat with David Fritz, and everything was about angles. And interesting enough, it was like 3 years ago or 4 years ago, he had the same flasher you're talking about right next to his other units.
Yep.
And he was still trying to, he found someone that had one of the old ones. He was trying to buy it off of him so he could get another one backup. So
yeah.
He was buying backup, kind of worried about the parts and stuff in there. But
they are getting a little obsolete. I'll grab one every time I get a chance to have a spare.
Right.
I've actually got a really nice old collection of these that hang around the top of my shop. I've collected over the years. But there's nothing to me. It's just what I learned. You know, people will be like, how can you tell anything with that? But, you know, spent my whole life looking at it and looking at those little dots and,
right.
You know, can really get right over a group of fish suspended and get a spoon on them or anything like that just as well, even with that old flasher.
There you go. So you're fishing a lot of shallow water. Are you pitching? What's your main, like, tactic, would you say, that you're really good at?
You know, at this point nowadays, and I've kind of went through two or three things over the years, and shallow water fishing is you've got to constantly be aware of what trends are.
Uh-huh.
And so over the years, I've just had to kind of switch up. But, you know, one of my absolute strengths is flipping a jig and a soft uh-huh. plastic. But I still stick with the jig most of the time. Pretty big jig and just picking apart cover, being very stealthy and quiet. And then
right.
secondly is a shallow water crankbait,
uh-huh.
Square bill, or I prefer the older balsa bee crankbaits is what I throw most of the times.
Uh-huh.
Sure enough, when the water gets a little warmer. There's a certain way with those baits, and the old round lip type ones that they make, killer bees are my
right.
favorite. But those old balsa plugs and really being precise with casting and precision on taking apart a piece of cover. It's amazing how many fish you can catch.
And docks included in this too then? Or
yeah.
Are
yeah,
you pitching docks or skipping docks?
I skip docks a lot with a jig.
Uh-huh. Which jig are you using, a round ball head? What are you using?
Most of the time I still prefer, I make most all my own baits, which I own my own lure company as well nowadays.
Give it a plug.
Arkansas Custom Tackle.
There you go.
ACT is our logo, and I've always made kind of my own baits for many, many years, but
right.
I make kind of one I like the best is kind of a morph between an Arky head and it's kind of an odd head, but it's flat on the bottom and it's extremely weedless. But it's not a really – it's hard to explain. I call it kind of a rock head. It's kind of a funny-shaped head. But it creates a nice profile, but it's not too big like your giant flipping jig. But it's not as small as a spider jig. It's what I like the best. And then I kind of go back and forth with a spider skirt or a full skirt, depending on what kind of profile I'm wanting. When I'm skipping a jig most of the time, I kind of like the full skirt. I still prefer the old school chunk type trailers.
Right.
The small salty chunk or a large salty chunk. And that's what I prefer to skip with, like over at Grand Fishing Docks and things like that. That's what I'll use the majority of the time. And then one other thing that I do skip a lot with and fish a lot with is just a standard old bucktail jig, hand-tied bucktail jig with a chunk trailer. It is it's what I learned to fish with, and it's still a big-time bass catcher nowadays.
Is that like a 5/16 ounce then? Is that
3/8.
A 3/8.
Mm-hmm. So it's I should have brought one with me. It's a 3/8 ounce black or brown, just a bucktail jig. It's tied with what I call a muddler collar, which is kind of flared at the top.
Right.
It just has a lot different profile in the water, and it skips extremely well for me.
Yeah. And so spinner baits, you must like spinner baits because when you had the store in, was it Prairie Grove?
Yes. Yeah.
That had a lot of spinner baits, like rows and rows of spinner baits.
Yeah. I am in love with a spinner bait as well. Over the last few years, it seems to waned a little bit, but I still throw one an immense amount. I do love to throw a spinner bait as well. If you're going to fish shallow, you have to have a jig, a square bill crankbait, and a spinner bait. And nowadays, you're going to have a chatterbait in there too. And that's one technique I'm just learning. But I always sway back towards a spinnerbait before a chatterbait.
Right.
And it's interesting getting into the lure business a little bit. A lot of people just think of spinnerbait. But that's not the case. And with owning this company, I've had a lot of time to experiment with wire lengths and sizes. And it's amazing what an extra half inch on an arm of a spinnerbait will make in its performance and the way it vibrates. And been having a lot of fun catching some fish on some baits by being able to modify them a little bit and learning some tweaks around spinnerbait that really make it more effective.
So if someone wanted to get a spinnerbait from you, how would they get, how do they know, like, they want a tandem willow leaf quarter ounce,
Most people, I do a lot of conversating about baits over the phone, and or people reach out to us on our Facebook page at Arkansas Custom Tackle, or me and Lucy personally on our Facebooks. We do a lot of that. And then, a lot of people have a lot of, it's really amazing. They know what they want. A lot of people do, and they want it built just like they've had it built before. And then I do share a lot about, they're looking for a certain type of bait to do a certain thing. And through all this messing with baits, I've been able to say, here's what we need to do. Build that. It'll do exactly what you want it to do.
Right.
So, and they can just reach out to us. Most people just get us, me on my Facebook or Lucy, one or the other.
Right.
And, or call us on the phone. That happens a lot too.
And you're making spinner baits, jigs.
Yeah. Spinner baits, buzz baits, jigs, I make the bucktail jigs, the old school living rubber jigs. We still produce those, silicone, shaky heads. You just about name it, we've been building it.
And you make any in bulk, like bulk numbers for the jig heads?
Yes. Yeah, I do a lot of, I actually just finished a few orders of shaky heads where it's 100 of each size for customers and stuff like that, in the color that they want. So cool stuff. Making
Ned rig?
No. It's a, golly, man, I'm losing my mind. It's a, like wobble head or a biffle head type head.
Right.
But created one that I use my own personally. It's created off of more like an Arky style head, except a wobble head. And it's been really effective for me.
Kind of a jointed with a lead in front of it.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah. Like, jointed jig head.
Yep.
just with a big hook, you can put like a beaver style bait or a biffle bug or any type of creature bait on there.
Right. So kind of what's your plans like for this year coming up? This is January and we're running fast. So
yeah, it's
will you be fishing again? And do you have a tournament from last year yet to fish or not that you qualified for?
Well, the tournament season last year's over with. I did fish the state championship to try to requalify for the regional and did not make it last year. So this year's over. I'll try again in the through the Bass Nation again this year. Be on Norfolk this fall. But I am fishing the Bass Opens this year through that tournament, and Monroe, I was able to qualify to have a spot in the Bass Opens, so I've already got all that paid. And
which division of the Opens are you fishing? Southern or
Central?
Central.
Central. Right. It's got the Ross Barnett, Red River, Louisiana, and then Sam Rayburn in October.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. You got some good lakes to go fishing.
Yeah. I really loved it when I saw the schedule to have two openers that are both kind of shallow, muddy lakes. It made me pretty happy. Yeah. So looking forward to that. And then we'll fish a couple other team circuits around here just to fill in some gaps between those tournaments.
So when you're not fishing, what do you do?
You know, I'd still set tile for a living and then build lures like crazy.
Right.
And then I fish every minute other than that, or I spend a lot of time tinkering with tackle and the boat and just prep time. I do a lot of that. So, and then help Lucy when I can sometimes when she needs some help. And so we stay hopping along pretty good.
A lot of it all has to do with fishing, though, doesn't it?
Everything has something to do with fishing around our place. It's if you come to my house, it will be about fishing. You know, there's really not any other conversation.
You're not a farmer, too, are you?
I am not. No. You know, my granddad was a farmer and had a big farm, and I learned to have a complete distaste for cattle and really about anything to do with it.
So, fishing's a lot easier because you catch one, you don't want to feed it, take it home, and all that. You can just let it go.
Yeah, you don't have to get with your relatives and try to kill each other getting it in a trailer or anything like you know. Luckily, I do have a lot of great memories of dealing with cattle and hauling hay and all those great things that go along with it. But no farming for me. Once I got to where I could fish, there in my 19, 20 year old and got my first boat, it was fishing. Right. So it's been my whole life.
Yeah.
So,
well, good. The Opens, that'll be fun. That'll be a good experience. So
yeah, I'm looking super forward to it. I had a chance to fish them a few years back, and I don't think I was mentally ready for that experience at the time, but I can't wait to get there. And you know, it'd be easy to go into these tournaments and just say, man, I'm going to go win one and I'm going to make the elites and do all these things. But, you know, for me, fishing is so much about the experience. And I have one goal, and that's to hopefully requalify for the Opens again. And whatever the rest comes along will be great because I just love fishing. I love everything about it, not just the winning of a tournament or the catching a big stringer. There's so much more to fishing than that, and that's what I love about it. So I can't wait.
Do you have any sponsors? Do you have some you can sneak out?
I do have a few. You know, some I'm working on some right now. It's not something I'm really good at, is going out and asking for help lots of times. And but do have a few, and I got a few more in the works that some things are really coming together. But you know, I've got Shimano out there, which been a fishing Shimano most all my life, so got them on board. Headhunter Lures up here in Cassville, a Smith Full Throttle Marine out here in Prairie Grove, and you know, for me, it's all about these local people. Got Toon Concrete on board, helping me out some on that too, so that's super cool. And then Arkansas Custom Tackle, you know, if you're buying a bait from me, there's some of that money's going to be going out on the road. So some other great things, you know, that I'm working on that not got them cinched up yet, but hopefully we can talk about them soon someday.
Yeah, that'll work. So, they'll be able to find that on the on your Facebook page once that happens.
Yeah, you know, on my Facebook, I do have a Facebook called Aspiring Angler, and I do a lot of little videos on there about fishing tips and stuff. And then I'm going to jump off into the YouTube thing here starting into February as we get into the season. And I'm going to try to have a little fun with that, just really try to share. You know, I have a lot of passion for I've had some new rigs, and I'm not a hater of the new technology or the big new boats. I think it's all awesome. But I really want to share my experience of the equipment I have that you can get out there, fish at a super high level, and I'm going to share how that goes and how this whole season goes along.
So. You know, and to start with that, goes along with that is just this past week at the Crappie Masters, the people that won $10,000, won first place, they actually do not have a unit on their boat. They actually were using fly rods that didn't have reels.
Wow.
And so they actually won that tournament. And in the crappie world, if you don't have three graphs on the front of your boat, you are, they dismiss you
it's
as an angler.
Like, what are you doing? Yeah.
Exactly. But they turned around and did it. And so there's still places. And actually, we had visited about it. It's kind of opening up the shoreline. It's kind of
absolutely
making it so there's some breathing room.
Yep. You know, as I've told a lot of people, is I'm not a hater of the live scope. It's been the greatest thing that's ever happened to me over the last, you know, the shoreline and the banks have just become wide open. And, you know, it's really odd. I keep thinking there's going to be this big resurgence back to it, and there probably will be. But as of right now, we'll just keep it the way it is. And those little spots along the shore, we'll keep picking away at them.
There you go.
It's really interesting.
That takes us to Tackle Time. Tackle Time is sponsored by Pico Lures and also Smith Products. Pico Lures, of course, I brought. They have jig heads. If you're not buying Chris's, you need to be buying Pico's.
Right.
So he's got a bunch. He's got net heads, and he has some football heads and some jig heads. And for bass fishing, he has some hard baits that you can get. You can find all the Pico Lures at picolures.com. And then the other show sponsor is Smith Consumer Products. And they have all kinds of different tools. Like this is a small, like a little multi-tool. I brought that because it's always kind of cool to have in your boat.
That's right.
And they have everything from, fillet knives, hook sharpeners, you know, you name it, they got everything. They got a whole line of Mr. Wally stuff. So you can find it there. Go to smithproducts.com and find them there. Chris, tell us one more time if they wanted to find out more about you. Find about the Mountain Dews and the if you're drinking Mountain Dew that day, or what has you mad as you're driving to the boat ramp. Where would they go?
Oh, if you want to go there, you just go to Aspiring Angler Chris Johnson. That'll be my Facebook page.
Right.
And then my YouTube will be the same name here in the next few weeks.
All right.
Just be under Aspiring Angler. And I'm going to start posting a lot of this other informational stuff on there and some fun stuff. I really enjoy doing just fun videos that kind of will get a little tickle out of you sometimes.
And you need a Mountain Dew sponsorship.
Oh.
That's all I got to say, because you will hear him talk about it. So make sure you watch. So you can find out more, definitely, what is up in Chris's world.
That's right.
So it'll be interesting.
It should be a fun ride. And if you talk to my wife, you'll know that everything about this entire life has been extremely interesting. So some of it just might be pretty interesting and a little funny.
That's right. All right. Well, like I always like to end the show, I always tell everyone to make sure they keep their hook sharp and their lures in the water.
That's right.